Welcome to the Men's Lifeline Academy, where we help men transform their lives to become the best version of themselves. So that's why we take time to bring on stellar men, men who have overcome challenges and are seeking to help other men and other people out in their families, communities, and in themselves. Now I'm your host. My name is Zach, and today I got Coach Jordan in the house today. Jordan is a former high school football coach. He's currently a finance teacher, and he started his own business teaching people about finances. So basically, he's a teacher by day and a finance coach by night. Jordan, welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Zach. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing your story. And so tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, I'm a finance teacher and a business teacher. I've been doing that for the last 12 years. I'm married, been married for about 9 years. I have three little kids, ages 6, 4, and 2. So it's a complete chaos at our house pretty much all the time. I'm a Christ follower, so that's, you know, the most important thing. And I coached football for 10 years, and it was a great experience. I had the opportunity to coach a couple guys that made it to the NFL, which is pretty cool. Still keeping contact with a lot of those guys. So it's been just a great journey so far. There's been a lot of challenges too, but it's been a great journey. And right now, you know, just being a dad and being a good husband is kind of my main goal. And then, like you mentioned, I've started a financial coaching business on the side. Pretty new. It's, you know, a little over a year I've been doing this. So have a couple clients, but just starting to build that and kind of step into that where I felt called, and we'll kind of see what God has planned for me in that area as well. So I'd say that's a little bit about me.
No, I think that's a good summary, especially if we are, because a lot of times on your posts, I'll see that you're teaching and trying to share the gospel and trying to help encourage people. And I think that's awesome that you're spreading your faith, that you're living your faith out. And especially with three little ones running around, trying to do not only your day job as a teacher, which I used to work in the school, so I fully understand how complex that can be, and starting your own business. So what kind of led you maybe to being a finance teacher?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a teacher and football coach when I was younger, you know, just playing sports and growing up in that realm. I just always loved the game, and I wanted to continue to be a part of it after I was done playing. And so I actually was going to pursue being a Spanish teacher, and then I forgot half of what I learned in high school because I got out of it for a year. So then I decided to pursue, like, really my second love, which was money and business. So I got into that, and, you know, I just always want to impact kids. And the reason being is, you know, the way I grew up was I grew up in a broken home. I didn't have a lot of support from my parents. So I always wanted to have that ability to, you know, help those kids that didn't have support at home or didn't have a dad, to empower them to be great in their lives. So that kind of is what led me to that road, and it's just been a lot of fun. And, you know, for example, I teach about 150 kids a semester, so you're talking 300 kids on average that I can, you know, potentially, not really me, but God through me, you know, change the trajectory of a kid's life by, you know, just speaking victory over them, or, you know, empowering them or helping them when they're going through challenges. Because, you know, in today's world, like, I fully believe that these kids are up against probably more than what I was up against when I was younger, in terms of societal challenges, technology, what they're exposed to. So it's been a lot of fun, but it's been a lot of challenges, and it's been very rewarding too. So, yeah.
No, well, thank you for your service. It's always good to hear teachers who have passion for helping kids and understanding the struggles that they went through. So what are some struggles that you're seeing kids today struggle with? I know you mentioned, like, technology. I know a lot of times the societal culture changes a little bit, but what are you seeing a little bit more of in the classroom compared to what we may see, let's say, on the news?
Yeah, I mean, I think people have heard about it, but, like, the mental health crisis, the anxiety, the stresses that kids are feeling today, and I do think, I don't want to say 100%, but 90% of it comes from what they're being exposed to on their cell phones. So I feel like we're living in a time where, like, we're not getting a lot of guardrails, especially as, like, middle schoolers and high schoolers. I feel like some parents have just given this device to these kids that, you know, it's limitless on what you can see. I mean, you can see You know, when Russia attacked Ukraine, you're going to see that within 30 minutes or less on a cell phone, and kids are being exposed to those things, which they shouldn't be. And they're worrying about that stuff when they shouldn't be. So all that pressure, all that stuff they're seeing and being exposed to, I think is just pushing them to, you know, high anxiety levels. And they're also seeing lives that are almost not real. You know, they're seeing people that are posting all their highlights, which is what, you know, people do on social media.
Right.
You know, I get that, but, you know, they're comparing themselves constantly. So I'd say the cell phone and all that that brings is probably one of the biggest challenges. And then on top of that, and this has probably been, I mean, an issue for a long time, but I feel like it's probably gotten slightly worse. I just feel like there's a lack of parenting, like strong parents in the home right now. I talk to kids all the time and I feel like they have no rules at all. And I think we are trusting high school, middle school kids to make these like high level mature decisions because of what they see and what they can talk about now, because, you know, they see all those things. So I think in our heads, we think they're actually more mature than what they actually are. And they're still developing. Their brain is still developing. So I think we're, putting too much on them, to be honest. And I think parents are doing that. And it's kind of a problem that I've seen, you know, in the classroom.
No, I think that's true. I mean, I worked in the schools for about 4 years myself. And there was always that feeling that it was the school's job to kind of begun to raise the kids, really. I mean, we feed them, you know, a lot of times breakfast and lunch, and sometimes we would give them food to go home, and we were trying to teach them, you know, the best way we could to live a good life and how to be a good student and everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes more of the parents are like, well, this is your job to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and then now my position now, it's like, now it's like you kind of see where a lot of parents struggle with. So it's like a balancing act where you got the kids struggling, but at the same time you have the parents struggling, because a lot of people I talk to, either they have the news on the moment they get home, what's happening next, or again, going on social media, and you have parents like sometimes comparing themselves or showing the highlight reels.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you help kids in the classroom when you have to focus on teaching, instructing, and at the same time, you're seeing this kid like struggle with like anxiety because they're worried about whether it's the war in Ukraine, or it's like this kid just went on this $2,000 vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's many ways, but, you know, I think the biggest thing that we as educators and, you know, parents or whatever it may be, I just try to speak victory into them, you know, try to encourage, because, you know, some teachers are negative, and I don't think that helps at all. So I think you have to speak victory over kids, especially when they're coming from a home that potentially could be all negative or they don't want to go home to. So just kind of telling them what they can become. And my class, you know, personal finance lends to that pretty well, because I'm talking about life and, you know, how the decisions that I've made have got me to where I am. So I try to show them what they can become. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had them all shut their eyes in class. I do this every year. I'm like, shut your eyes. I'm like, don't make it weird. Just shut your eyes. And some of them try not to. I'm like, nope, not doing this until all your eyes are shut. And I have them envision their life when they're 35, which is not how old I am. I'm like, envision your life at 35. And then I have them kind of walk through like a day, like a real quick day. Like, what are you driving? You know, what house are you going home to? What job are you working? Do you go home to a spouse, to 8 cats? You know, like, what are you going home to? And I try to have them envision their life and basically GPS their life. And then after that, I'm like, listen, you know, you might come from a situation that's not ideal, or maybe your parents aren't in a great situation. I'm like, that's not your future, though. I'm like, you can change that. So I try to give opportunities to speak that into them and just encourage them. And not every kid, you know, it takes multiple times doing that with some kids, but, you know, some kids, you can see it when they open their eyes, and I show a bunch of pictures. I'm like, did you see this? Did you see this? And it's like a nice house or whatever. They get kind of fired up about it, you know? So you have to like show them where they can go and then give them the tools to get there. And that's kind of how I've been doing it. And a lot of them, I had a kid yesterday after that, he came up to me afterwards. I think he comes from a, a rough situation too. I don't know him that well yet, but he was like, hey, you know, I want to start a investing account. He was like, can you help me? I was like, oh, absolutely. So you just plant those seeds. They don't always grow in that moment, but a lot of times, you know, a week after, a month after, or even like a semester after, they'll come back and ask for guidance. And that's where you got them and you can help them even more. So that's kind of how I do it in the classroom.
No, I think that's incredible. Very rarely do you hear about a teacher who really takes that extra initiative and step. And I know a few teachers who were fantastic and would pull kids aside, but hey, what's really going on? And a lot of kids open up, especially if they develop that rapport and that trusting relationship. And to go that extra step, not only in personal finance, but also that relationship aspect, because we a lot of times we know that, or if we don't know, this would be a good educational piece that when we're making financial decisions based on what we desire, what we want, is it a want or a need? And going from there, and what are we willing to risk to have that better life? And just to give the kids hope, I mean, if you give someone hope, you can see a glimmer in their eye transform. And it could be for a second, it could be for a few minutes, but it's always so cool to see that change in them. Especially when I would talk to a lot of kids, and a lot of times they didn't always feel a connection with their teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're changed by connection, right? Like, we need each other. I believe in, you know, Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpens iron. So I think you need people in your life. You need people, you know, in your camp that help you and empower you and encourage you. Because without that, like, which is kind of what's another issue that I didn't really say, is isolation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's this kind of this pandemic where we're isolating ourselves. And I think that is because of cell phones too, because, you know, if I can be entertained and talk to a fake person online every day, why do I need to go hang out with Zach, you know, in person? You know what I mean? So, like, I think kids are doing that now too. Like, instead of going out on the weekends or hanging out with their friends, they're like, hey, I'll just sit at home and stare at my phone all night or be entertained that way. And they're not truly connecting with others, which is not good. So I think that lack of connection is a part of that too.
And unfortunately, I think it's only going to get worse, especially with how AI is being transformed, where now they're talking about like a robotic girlfriend, boyfriend, friend or something through some type of artificial intelligence. So it's like, you know, some technology that may be meant to help certain people, and it's being generalized to like everybody, where, like you said, people are much more lonely these days, much more depressed, anxiety's through the roof these days. Mm-hmm. And cell phones are definitely variable to it. Something that is such a oxymoron, where it's supposed to bring people closer and bring more connections, has actually done a degree to that, because that's how you and I met. However, though, it's still isolating people, like you said. Well, why do I need to go out and have fun where I might be annoyed by people and I don't want to tolerate them? I can just sit on my phone and the person always agrees with me on the other side.
Yeah, you're right.
So, in coming from a hurt home yourself, what was your kind of saving grace, if you will?
Yeah, so when I was 10 years old is when my parents got divorced. And it's, if anybody's been through it, I mean, it wrecks you. It really does, especially as a young kid. And we were a big family. I had 4 siblings, which did help because I had them to lean on as I got older. But, yeah, I mean, when that happened, it just, your insecurities go through the roof. You know, you think it's, like, your fault, or, like, you question, like, you know, why this happened to me, and you just feel like not good enough in general. And then you see your parents like fighting and just stuff that you don't want to see, right? Okay. And then when that happened, you know, I was lost, you know, for sure. I was lost 100%. And, you know, I played sports, thankfully, and that really was part of the saving grace. But ultimately, it led me to Christ when I was in 8th grade. And that actually happened because my brother, who was older at the time, when I was in 8th grade, he was probably like a freshman in college or senior in high school, somewhere around then. And he had a girlfriend, and her dad was a pastor. And he kind of, you know, talked to her about God. And my brother ended up getting saved and asked God into his heart. And then he told me about it. And, you know, I started to learn about it. And then I actually sat down in my now sister-in-law's house with her dad. And we prayed the Lord's Prayer. And I gave my heart to God probably, you know, a couple years after my parents got divorced. And that's honestly probably what got me through, I would say, all of it. It was still really hard, you know, and it still honestly is. Like, I don't even know if divorce ever, you know, goes away and like never doesn't impact you. I mean, there was a few years ago where I was in tears and wrote down in a journal, like, I forgive my dad, you know. So it's just something that, you know, I don't think ever leaves you. But, you know, at that time when I was younger, when I decided to follow Jesus, I had to make a choice. Like, am I going to be the victim or the victor? So I remember I just felt this like calling, like, you know, this is not the end. I'm like, this is going to propel you to be the best dad and the best spouse you can be. So make it different. So when I was young, I mean, I was probably 11, 12 years old. That like fire was lit in me that like someday I'm going to have a family and I'll have the opportunity to do it differently. And what do you know? I'm sitting in my basement because I don't want to wake up my kids. I have three little kids. I'm married to a beautiful wife and nothing's perfect, but you know, we have a great family and you know, God's in our home. And it's, I just feel incredibly blessed to be in the spot where I am today. And now my dad and I do have a relationship. It's not perfect, but we do have a relationship and we've healed from a lot of things, but you know, it's something that, you know, ultimately led me to Jesus, which is what I'm really thankful for. And now, you know, having gone through that, which I think everything happens for a reason, the conversations I have with high school kids, you know, because this is prevalent in the schools, is I've been there. You know, I know exactly what you're feeling with your parents splitting up or whatever. So I think God has now used it to impact others, especially young people that are going through the same thing.
And that's the hard part about pain, is that we tend to try to one-up everyone's pain. Like, you know, you can have a kid that, you know, you don't know what it's like to come from a broken home, and you're like, we come on, you don't know who I am, because a lot of times kids will paint the teacher as like this perfect person, like this perfect role model who's done nothing, who did everything right, and they don't understand the pain until the teacher's like, listen, I've been there, I know what it's like to go through a divorce, my parents were divorced, and all the hurt. And then the kid kind of takes a step back, like, oh. And that's why I really try to work hard, I'm sure, and I can tell you do this too, is let's use pain as a teacher to bring about connection, not division. So yeah. Everyone, unfortunately, in life will go through scars and everything. The question is, how do we use that pain to help other people? And pain is something that never feels good and it may never go away. We may learn how to cope or manage it a little bit better. But ultimately, that scar's going to be there. And the best way to overcome that is just to help someone else and then go on your own road of recovery too, whether through prayer, meditation. And forgiveness is honestly the biggest one, though, that really frees people from a lot of anger and hatred. And true forgiveness, where it's not going to be maybe a one-time thing, but a process to go through it. Because with forgiveness, it's really for you to walk in that freedom, knowing that this bondage, this hatred, this resentment is not going to affect your future family.
Yeah, and you're right. It will. You know, if you don't, I mean, I've learned it time and time again. If you do not forgive people, it's like chains, you know, holding you down. Yeah. It hurts you, you know. You know, a lot of people feel like, no, I'm not going to forgive that person because they wronged me. Like, they're going to feel that. It's like, no, if you take that approach, like, it's actually hurting you more than it is them. Because a lot of times they've moved on, you know, and they kind of forget about it anyways. So, like, I've learned that time and time again. Like, you know, if you have been hurt, and again, hurting people hurt people. We got to remember that. Mm-hmm. We're all human, and we have to extend grace. You know, I've hurt people, you know, and we have to remember that, like, we're not perfect. So, why should I not give that person grace because they're human? You know what I mean? So if we have the ability and intentionally forgive people, it's going to free us up more to be a better version of ourselves and be better for our families and our spouses or whatever it may be. So yeah, it's incredibly important to forgive and be able to move on, because it's freeing. It really is.
Well, and that's how we also receive forgiveness too, is when we forgive others, we also receive it too. And sometimes that might be withheld. And I don't know the exact scripture of that, but I know it mentions that, you know, the Father will forgive those who forgive. And, you know, he might withhold some healing or forgiveness if you're holding on to somebody else, because it's like, who made you judge?
Mm-hmm.
So probably one of the better books, it was a novel, was The Shack. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie or read the book.
No.
So The Shack, you might want to look into it. It's a fantastic book where it talks about pain and feeling lost and how a tragedy can just completely change your life. And we might go through different situations in life, but it's really meant to be healing to us in a way that we'll be when we face the pain versus cover it up and take time to address the root pain and the hardships of it. That's where we see growth and forgiveness and sometimes restitution for. So in that case, the guy lost his daughter and she was unfortunately murdered in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So going through all that pain and everything and not knowing where her body was or anything like that, really.
Jeez.
Yeah. And it talks about how this man goes through and, you know, finds God and everything, and through that, things were resolved. It was still painful, still hurtful, but he got a glimmer of God in the three persons, as it's talked about in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful.
It's a very powerful and emotional book that it can be very difficult to put down and read at times too.
Yeah.
So it's that reminder that to begin with healing, we have to get to a deep-rooted issue and to bring that to God. And a lot of times we don't because we feel shameful or don't really know how to.
Yeah, for sure.
So going from just kind of make sure we talk about your whole story with the time that we have, then what led you to now teach people about financial as like a side gig or business?
Yeah, so, you know, my passion was coaching and teaching. And mm-hmm. I coached for 10 years in high school, and it was a lot of fun. But when we were expecting our third child, you know, things were getting a little crazy. My other two were 4 and 2 at that time. So we had 2 young kids. My wife was pregnant, and there's, you know, challenges with that. And I'll never forget, you know, I felt like coaching football was kind of coming to an end, or at least a break. Mm-hmm. Because of how hard it was getting at home. You know, I was getting home at, you know, 7:30 at night every single night. Friday, I wouldn't see the kids. So, yeah, people don't really understand, like, how big of a time commitment. Unless you've played, you know, or coached, I feel like people don't really understand how much of a time commitment coaching high school football is. I mean, it's an additional, I'd say, 40 hours a week on top of the 40 hours a week I was teaching. So that strain was there. And I'll never forget, I think it was week 5, we were playing a good team. And I was the special teams coordinator, so I was in charge of special teams and, like, the kicking units and so on. And I remember being out on the field the last 3 seconds of the game, and I was in the huddle on the field. All the kids are nervous. They're about to try to kick the game-winning field goal to win it all. And I could feel it. I was like, we're going to win this game. And I told them all, I was like, guys, we've done this 100 times in practice. So long story short, they go out, kick the game-winning field goal. And, you know, you would think I would have went crazy and, like, jumped up and down, but, like, I didn't. Because I saw that field goal go in, and I was like, I just feel like this is the last year that I'm going to coach. I just felt it in that moment. It was weird. I don't know why. It was a God thing. I felt it was just the end, and I went home, and my wife didn't go to the game because, you know, 2 little kids, and they were already asleep. And I told her what had happened, and she was like, oh, that's cool. You know, just like the response that I got. And it wasn't her fault. She just had been through a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I just knew it was over at that point. I was like, okay, I got to give it my all the rest of the season. And then I gave it up, and I had a void in my life for sure. There was a big void that I felt in my life. So what I did was, again, leaned on God. And I prayed to God and actually read a book called Anonymous, which is a fantastic book. It's all about Jesus and his life. You know, he was 33 years old before he was crucified. But his first 30 years, there's only four records of him. And nobody really thinks about this. But his first 30 years, he was a carpenter, and there's only like four references of him. You know, when he was born, when he was like in the temple one time and a couple other times. But it was his last 3 years that we still talk about to this day, and we will forever, right? So I remember reading this book, and I just felt like I was supposed to be anonymous. And that was hard for me because I was always in front of people. I was always coaching. I was always motivating. I was always in front of football players. And I just felt like I needed to study the word for a year and be quiet, if that makes sense. So I took a year, and I wasn't on social media or anything at this point, and just was studying and praying and just kind of being quiet and kind of to myself. And then it was this past February, I just felt like this nudge. I prayed about it and I wrote it down. I was like, I need to start coaching people, you know? And I felt like, what's my talents? I'm good at motivating, and I'm really smart with finance. I'm like, those are two things that I can use. And faith, family, and finance like came to my head, and it's been in my head for a long time. I was like, I need to start posting on social media. So I just, you know, took the leap of faith and started posting daily. I think I was posting to nobody at first and posting into a wall. But eventually I started making connect. Just, it was crazy. Like, just the people you meet at the right time that like would enhance you, you know, or like retweet it or whatever. And then people started reaching out about, hey, do you coach people? And, you know, I got a couple people and started doing that on the side, and that's kind of how it started. And I'm like, man, I just keep getting people asking me, you know, former players have reached out to me, former students have reached out to me, friends have reached out to me because I've been posting all this stuff. People in my district have reached out to me. Wow. So just by taking that step of faith and listening to God's call, he's doing all this through me. And I don't know what it's going to be. It could be big, could be small. I don't know. But that's kind of led me to, you know, financial coaching. And again, I don't even know what the exact, you know, clear path is yet. I have ideas, but it's getting clearer and clearer the more steps of obedience that I take. So, and that's led me on this show. So we'll see where this takes, you know?
Yeah, no. And I just want to say, you know, thank you for like sharing your story. It's not easy to share that level of pain that you went through. And, you know, I just wanted to, I always like to highlight people who are trying to make people's lives better. And I think it's so important to do that, especially with you, you know, having three kids. It's not simple. It's expensive. And, you know, being that light, being trying to help people with their finances, where everyone these days are stressed financially. And a lot of people these days are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're not knowing what to do. And especially when food goes up and you get milk used to be, let's say, $1.50, now it's all of a sudden $5, and eggs. And, you know, if you got grown kids, they're going to eat their own whole entire fridge. So, and it's learning how to make every dollar count, especially the more, for example, the more I financially become literate myself, and I've been reading books and, you know, trying to figure out the best way to do that, is realizing how much we're taxed on a dollar, right? We get a paycheck, that's tax. We pay for food, groceries, a house, and there's like so many taxes on your dollar. It's like, how can I make this last? So to always see people like you who are out there running it out, who are really smart financially and have the systems put in place that help other people who may not have that financial literacy.
Yeah, too. And to be clear, just so if anybody's listening to this, like, I don't make a ton of money. Like, I don't know if anybody knows this, but teachers don't make tons of money. And my wife only works one day a week. So, like, you know, being financially free, which we are, like, you know, we're doing this on a like a lower income, not the lowest, but a lower income or a pretty modest income. So, you know, if somebody's watching this thinking like, oh my gosh, he makes a lot of money, it's like, nah, like I can help anybody do it on a pretty modest income. So it's not about really how much money you make, it's how you handle that money. So I think that's kind of where I'm a little bit different compared to some people, because some people doing this are making, gosh, $250,000 a year. It's like, heck yeah, I could budget on that much money. That's a lot of money, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, with that much money comes more expensive toys, because it's like, well, I make $250. I can buy this. I can go on this vacation and do this. And all of a sudden, you start seeing the bill stack and the credit card go up, and you're like, okay, How am I going to make it this month? And that's like the biggest question. And I always see the biggest freak out, like, let's say on Dave Ramsey's show, where he goes, you make $250,000 and you're how much in debt? It's like, it just got away from us. It's like, okay, but we still have to have that responsibility, accountability. I mean, I know it's a show, so it's going to be a little bit more dramatic and things like that. But it really drives in a point that, you know, do the best you can to become financially literate. And if you need help with financial literacy, we got a guy right here. So with Coach Jordan, all his socials, so his ex and his business are all going to be in the description below. So if you need help, reach out to him. If you're struggling and you need help and you're up to the wazoo in debt and you don't know how to budget, or you want to learn about financial literacy because no one taught you, your parents didn't teach you, your teachers didn't teach you, and you're just like, what is money? What is debt? What is good debt, bad debt? We got Coach Jordan in the house today, so go reach out to him. And Jordan, as we kind of wrap up, what's like a sentence you want to speak to somebody today who might be in your shoes about, you know, let's say back when they're 10, 12 years old, and then you want to speak some life into someone today?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with, you know, it's never too late. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're 20, 50, it doesn't matter. You can be used, like God can use you in any season of life. I mean, Moses wasn't used till he was like 100 years old. So like, it really doesn't matter how old you are. And, you know, usually your struggles can be your triumph if you let them. All right. So a lot of those challenges you've gone through, you know, they can be what holds you back or what propels you forward. And I think you mentioned it earlier, you have to get to the root cause of that, you know, and it might take meeting with somebody to do that, or, you know, somebody to help you through that. But, you know, face those head on. You know, it might be a lion in your past that you got to go run to that roar. And it's scary. Like, I don't even, like, when I was talking about my dad and stuff, it does get a little emotional at times. Like, you don't want to think about, you know, that pain that you felt. But in order to heal, you have to go to the place of pain. And I would encourage anybody to, gosh, just reach out to somebody to do that. Find a friend, find a coach, find somebody to help you through that, because on the other side of that is victory. And I want people to walk in victory, because everybody has the ability to empower people to just make great things happen in their life. You just have to let that stuff all happen, and you got to work through all those challenges. So, you know, just reach out to people. We need each other. We need connection. God did not design us to be isolated. He was with people all the time. He was with his 12 disciples. He was healing. He was helping all the time. So if we're supposed to model our life after Christ, we should be walking with each other too. So if you need help, you know, like DM me, message me, like I'm more than happy to help you. Cause I want to see you have a good life, you know, and be happy and fulfill your God-given destiny.
Amen, amen, amen. That was really well said. And if you're a man needs some extra help, you know, DM myself. We got the Men's Lifeline Academy Discord group. It is a script subscription-based. So, you know, ask questions about that. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel so we can kind of continue to help men grow and learn and go out there and have a blessed day.